Good morning, everyone. We were just waiting for Amanda, but we might start. There's a car just arrived, is there? That's fantastic. I just want to just a little piece of business. If you need to use the facilities as you go out round to the building just called the stables, it's just on the right side of that. So I just let you know. But really, warm welcome this morning to our memorial service as we celebrate Sylvia's life. Special welcome to family and friends. It's really special that we could be here today. I'm just going to begin with some words. How the Lord Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." It says in Isaiah that the Lord God will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms. He will carry them close to his heart. And Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. Would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." And in Corinthians it says, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, God has prepared for those who love him." Well, as we come together now to thank God for Sylvia's life and to mourn and to honour her, we have Sylvia has already been cremated, but her ashes will be placed into one of the spots in the columbarium at the front of church out here in time. But today, as we come to say goodbye to her and to also appropriately honour her, we also need to support one another in grief. We face the certainty of our own death and judgment, but we know that those who die in Christ share eternal life with him. And so in faith and hope, we turn to God who creates and sustains everything. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, in your Son, Jesus Christ, you have given us a true faith and a sure hope. Help us to live as those who trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection to eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." One of the themes through this service will be Psalm 23. It's a beautiful psalm. And why don't we stand? The words will be on the screen.
King of love, my shepherd.
Streams of living water flow.
please have a seat. We're going to spend some time reflecting on Sylvia's life, and so I'd like to ask Annika and Vicky, I'll hand over to you guys for eulogies.
Thank you, and thank you for coming today to celebrate the life of my dearly loved grandmother, Sylvia Ann Robinson. Sylvia lived a long and fulfilling life of travel and adventure, generosity and community service, departing just short of her 92nd birthday. She was born on the 12th of October 1933, the second daughter of Oliver Udall and Nellie Cope. She was born in Petswood in the then county of Kent, 11 miles southeast of London. Sylvia's early childhood was marked by the traumas of World War II. She recalled of these years that, quote, schools were closed in 1939 and arrangements were made for teachers to visit children in their homes. This continued for about 18 months until schools were reopened, once they had an underground air raid shelter. Lessons were often interrupted and we spent many hours in the shelter, but still continued our lessons underground. Reflecting on the impact of this experience later in life, Sylvia said that, although the war years robbed me of my childhood, I look back on those years as a time that has helped me through many difficult situations in later life. After winning a scholarship to Bromley Grammar School and completing 6 years of schooling, Sylvia got her first job with Hansard and then subsequently worked in the commercial world. In 1956, she married Terence Langeth, who tragically died of leukemia 18 months later. In 1961, Sylvia joined a friend on a working holiday around the world. And when they arrived in Sydney, they decided to stay. She then worked for many years as the personal assistant for the managing director of LNC Industries in the region of Southeast Asia, where she was highly valued for her capability and her diligence, which you will all know well.
In 1972, Sylvia married our father, Michael Robinson, and she became part of our family, living at Lynfield, Sydney, Lower North Shore. In 1974, our father was appointed research director of Pfizer International Research Station, Bringelly, southwest of Sydney. Our father and Sylvia moved to the residence attached to the research station and working farm, where they spent 8 very happy years. During this time, Sylvia worked as Michael's personal assistant. They hosted many international visitors and personal friends. The facility also acted as a practical placement for students studying veterinary pharmacology at Sydney University. Sylvia later recounted her memories of the more peaceful and self-sufficient country lifestyle, which she greatly enjoyed. After retirement, Sylvia and Michael moved to McCall Avenue, Camden, where our father became interested in antique furniture restoration and Sylvia threw herself into community service. In tallying Sylvia's unparalleled record of community service, she totalled 135 years of volunteer service to various charities and clubs, including 45 years as a member of the North Shore and Camden Quota Clubs. For many years, she was on the organising committee of the Camden Antique Fair, where she served with usual efficiency and enthusiasm. Other charities included Camden Trust Office, Library Home Delivery Service, Camden Red Cross, Meals on Wheels, Migrant Teaching, Camden Hospital Auxiliary and Friends of Belgeny Farm. In 1997, Sylvia and Michael celebrated 25 years of marriage. During their married life, they travelled extensively, and Sylvia continued to travel after Michael's death in 1998. She travelled the world over, including such far-flung places as Greenland, Jordan, the Middle East, the Galapagos Islands, and Madagascar. In 2006, Sylvia moved to Durham Green Retirement Village, where she made many friends and became involved in the life of the village. She attended St James Church Menangle for several years before her death, health started to decline, and she then tuned in to her laptop via Zoom. She had a keen interest in local history and worked with a small group of fellow parishioners to compile a history of the church.
And there's some copies of that history available today. Sylvia was a loving grandmother to her grandchildren, myself, Nathan, Elizabeth, and Alexander, and a great grandmother to Amelia and Lachlan, who aren't with us today. Throughout her long life, she showed tenacity and generosity and a desire to always give back to and serve her local community and the friends, the good friends, the very dearly loved friends that she made at Durham Green in her later life. Thank you for joining us to celebrate Sylvia's life today.
Remember by Christina Rossetti. Remember me when I am gone away, gone far away into the silent land, when you can no more hold me by the hand, nor I half turn to go, yet turning to stay. Remember me when no more day by day. You tell me of our future that you planned. Only remember me, you understand. It will be late to counsel then or pray. Yet if you should forget me for a while and afterwards remember, do not grieve. For if the darkness and corruption leave a vestige of the thoughts that once I had, better by far you should forget and smile than that you should remember and be sad.
Thanks, guys. We're going to watch a video tribute now to Sylvia's life.
As you go on your way, may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. The sun shine warm upon your face, the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
That was an Irish blessing. Thanks, Alex. I would encourage you guys as we go afterwards to down to Durham Green for refreshments, ask some of Sylvia's neighbours and families, because I think some of these guys here have really known her very well over the last 15, 17 years, 20 years now. Yeah, so we're going to pray both that thank God for Sylvia's life and also for you guys. Ray, would you like to come up? Thanks, mate.
I can't help thinking if Sylvia could see you guys now, she'd think, what a fine lot of family and friends I've got. When I think of Sylvia, I think of three words, dignified, caring and unselfish. She was a special person, wasn't she? Let's pray. Lord God, our Creator and our Father in heaven, thank you for the beauty of the world and for the very life you've given us to experience your world. Thank you too that in your love for us, you sent your Son to give his life so that we might enter into eternal life as we put our trust in Jesus, who conquered death. Father, we thank you for Sylvia's life, for the people she touched, for all those she loved and those who loved her and blessed her in different ways, family and friends and carers. Thank you for Sylvia's zest for life, for her travels and experiences and relationships. Thank you especially for her faith, faith that responded to your love and that brought her into a relationship with you that lasts forever. Thank you that she believed your promises and was faithful to the end of her life on earth. Lord, may those who are missing Sylvia most just know that your promises are true. May we all be comforted by our good memories of Sylvia and inspired to be people of faith, following her example. Thank you that resting in peace is not just an empty expression, but a reality for your children. Continue with us, we pray, as we honour and remember Sylvia and commit her to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, I have managed to forget that we are going to sing Psalm 23. But if I could ask Lorraine, thank you. Why don't we stand as we sing?
My shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to
my soul, he died.
pray. Jesus Christ, you are the resurrection and the life of all who believe in you. You have taught us not to grieve as people without hope for those who die trusting in you. Raise us, we pray, from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, so that when we depart this life, we may rest in you as our hope is, our sister Sylvia is, and at the resurrection on the last day, that we too may be found acceptable to you and receive the kingdom prepared for all who love and fear you. Amen. Well, please have a seat. We're going to read a short passage now from 1 Thessalonians. It starts at verse 13, but it will be on the screen. And then I'm going to make a few comments from this passage, and then we're going to say our final prayers. I'll read it. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers. Okay. It should say brothers and sisters. We've updated language enough in this day and age. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And so with these words, we want to actually speak and encourage one another. Let me make a few comments. First of all, what was the description in that reading of people who have died? How did it describe people? What was the... It says fallen asleep. Now, as Australians, we are very good at euphemisms, particularly for death. I grew up overseas, and so I wasn't surrounded by Australian euphemisms, but every now and then, particularly my grandma and my uncles would use different euphemisms. But I still remember where we were sitting when... in the garden of our house overseas, when a letter arrived describing the fact that my grandfather had died. And what my uncle actually wrote in the letter was, "Dad has fallen off the perch." And my mum came out in tears and sat down and read the letter to us, me and my sisters. I was probably year 11 or 12, and I'm the oldest, so mostly high school into upper primary. And she read this letter out loud, and she was in tears. And I still remember, because I had never heard that before, and I started laughing. And then my sister started laughing, and then we realized Mum was crying, and it was one of those beginning awkward, but then ended up as a beautiful family moment at how unbelievably ridiculous we are as Australians in how we describe things that are uncomfortable to us. But when the scriptures call people fallen asleep, it's not a euphemism. It actually goes back to Jesus' words that he uses in a story. There's a couple books on your way out. There'll be a little table. One is the little booklet with the history of this building that I believe Sylvia was involved helping compile and put together. There's another little thing about why Jesus... This is the biography of Jesus, and there's a little book about grief and loss, which we like to put out. If you'd like to pick up any of these, they're free. But Jesus, in Luke chapter 8, has an encounter with a dad who's an important synagogue leader. He's a ruler of the local religious building. And he comes and falls at Jesus' feet and says his little 12-year-old daughter is at death's door. And Jesus goes with him, gets interrupted on the way. There's a big crowd. He's late in arriving at the house. And almost as he is arriving there, someone comes out of the house and meets them and says, don't bother Jesus anymore because the girl is dead. But Jesus replies and says, don't be afraid, only believe and she'll be made well. When he comes to the house, he only lets Peter, James and John, three particular of the disciples, with the child's father and mother enter in. People around the house, they're crying and mourning, as appropriate when a little girl passes away, you'd expect. But he says to them, stop crying, she's not dead, she's asleep. Now they laugh at him because they know she's dead. So their response is actually, don't be ridiculous. Maybe they thought he was completely foolish or completely misunderstanding, or it was just all a joke. We don't know. It just says they laughed at him because they knew she was dead. But he goes into the room just with a few people, takes her by the hand and says, little girl, get up. Her spirit returns and at once she gets up. And then he gives orders that she be given something to eat. Her parents are astonished, but then says, don't tell anyone this. As you read through the accounts of Jesus, he has the authority over death. In our little, can we go back a few slides, Lorraine? Let's go back to verse 14. The story of Jesus himself is that he dies, and you can read about this at the end of that, and then he rises to life, is witnessed by numbers of different people in different places and different times, and then ascends into heaven. And that if that story is true, if Jesus has the power and authority over death in the way he did with the little girl in his own life, he is the one through whom life is given. And so when we're sad that people have died, like mum, grandma, our friend, if it's true that Jesus is alive from the dead, then we have a hope in the middle of grief. We're not sad. Death is sad. It's broken relationships. It's a devastating event. It robs us of people. And I know that for some of you, there's been a lot lately that you've been facing, and it can get really overwhelming. But the hope we have in Christ enables us to actually have confidence that death is not the end, that people have fallen asleep, meaning if you're asleep, not dead, the consequence is one day you will wake up. That's why that is the description. Because the passage goes on, we won't go into detail, but it goes on to describe how the fact that those who have fallen asleep first will actually rise with Christ first when he returns. And then the rest of us will join them. And so they're not lost in death, as it were. That is a great hope, and why we're told at the end of these verses, encourage one another with these words. As we just prayed, we don't grieve without hope, we grieve with hope. So I want to encourage you two things. First of all, you need to reflect and think about where you stand before with the account of Jesus' life. It's what Sylvia's great hope was in. I had the privilege, I didn't know very much, but when I went and visited, we chatted about life after death and death and these things. And obviously there's a great uncertainty that she was expressing. We don't really know ourselves, but we're able to express that we trust that what Jesus teaches and that what we learn about Christ is true, and that that's where her trust was, even if there's all sorts of doubts and confusions that surround all of that. And so we have confidence. We need to reflect where we what we think about these words. But secondly, if you do trust in these words, please be encouraging one another with them. Please be speaking and reminding each other that in the midst of death, we have hope of life. I was reflecting with Merle, who's on our live stream up the back. We were reading a little bit of Isaiah, the great prophecy that actually what God will do is that life will swallow up death. It's the complete opposite of what we feel like happens, that death swallows life, that the grave kind of eats everything in the end. But the promise in God is that life will actually be swallowing death, and that the victory will be in life, not in death. And that's why we hope in Jesus. Well, I think that's enough from me. We have some words and prayers now, particularly as we commit Sylvia and her body to the Lord, both in cremation and then in commitment into the columbarium. We have but a short time to live. Like a flower, we blossom and then wither. Like a shadow, we flee and never stay. From whom may we seek for help but from you, Lord God? Though you are justly displeased on account of our sins, yet, Lord God Almighty, most holy and most merciful Saviour, deliver us from the bitterness of eternal death. You know the secrets of our hearts. Mercifully hear us, most worthy Judge Eternal, and keep us at the last hour in the comforts of your love. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life, and in your keeping are all who have departed in Christ. And so today we commit to you the mortal body of Sylvia Ann Robinson, that she will be cremated and then buried with her ashes in the columbarium. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again for us, and who shall change our mortal body, that it will be like his glorious body. Thanks be to God, who gives the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The scriptures say, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labors." Let me pray the Lord's Prayer. And if you would like to join with me, it'll be the more modern version. Just join along. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, eternal Father and God of all comforts, in your unending love and mercy for us, you turn the dawn of death into the dawn of new life. Be our refuge and strength in sorrow. Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, conquered death by dying for us and opened the gates to eternal life by rising again. Enable us to walk by faith so that after our life on earth, we may share the life of your kingdom, where every tear will be wiped away and death shall be no more. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before the glory of his presence with everlasting joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Now, I believe that we're going down to the Country Club in Durham Green. Is that correct? Which is just in the centre of Durham Green. Now, if you're looking for parking around Durham Green, if you're a guest, well, I realise a lot of you already have parking spaces in Durham Green. But if you're looking for parking around the village, there are, along the side of the road, there are various spots where you can park for visitors. And then if you find somewhere to park, there's not a lot of parking around the place, but if you find parking, then just make your way into the very centre. There's the Country Club in there, and I believe we're going in there. If anyone needs a lift, just come and talk to me. I can happily give you a lift down, or you could even walk, because it's not that far at all. Why don't we stand, and then why don't we let the family go out first?